Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen podcast, brought to you in partnership with WCRFM, which you can hear on 101.8 FM across Wolverhampton via WCRFM.com or by telling your smart speaker to play WCRFM. And now, of course, if you're in Wolverhampton, you can hear us on DAB Digital Radio. October is Black History Month, and this year's theme is saluting our sisters. And so I had the privilege of welcoming one of Wolverhampton's sisters, our very own Tonya Daly Campbell. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris.
It's great to see you. You know, you were my go-to person in lockdown to cheer the city up.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. It's been a long time now, so I am so honoured to be here.
Oh, we are the honoured. We're the honoured ones, Tonya. And you know, writer, actor, producer, director, mom, grandma, you know, everything there that describes you, really. And, you know, you bring so much to us, and we're going to be thinking about Black History Month in a minute or two's time. But how are you doing? What are you up to? Busy as ever, I reckon.
Very busy, but it's a nice busy, because I'm able to be, you know, my authentic self in terms of being the most creative person, because I'm doing lots of different creative things. You know, people like to say, stay in your lane. Well, mine is multiple lanes. Sometimes I go in the slow lane, then I go in the middle lane, and then I have to go in the fast lane. But right about now, I'm definitely in the fast lane.
Is that stay in your lane a kind of equivalent of, we've talked before about the glass ceiling and the concrete ceilings and whatever, you know, just stick to what you just stay there.
I love you, Chris. Exactly that. Try and, you know, put me in a little box, or, you know, you need to stay doing one thing, you know. But really, at the end of the day, I call myself a creative, because that is who I am. That is how God made me. So I'm a creative, and I enjoy the variety of my creativity, be it performing, writing, directing. As you already know, my heartbeat is supporting young people. I don't have my drama school like I used to, but I do still support the younger generation into getting into the world of the crazy creative world of acting and performing. Yeah.
And talking to younger generations, we better give a shout out to your family, hadn't we? And I remember you paying my grandma during lockdown, or just after lockdown, and all going well, I hope.
Oh my goodness, she's at my house right now, bouncing around, and it's just so wonderful. So shout out to the Campbell family, all of my family that's there, my husband, my children, and my wonderful friends. You're all really precious to me. So yeah, big shout out to you all. I'm not going to name them all because there's too many.
I know you can only say it's about half past this, so you know, have to be gone by then. Now, obviously your work, you've talked there about being a creative, but actually it's about broadening that creative opportunity to people, becoming, trying to be as inclusive as possible. You've got a role at the Grand in doing that as well. How's that been going? Because that's been 2 or 3 years now you've been there.
Yeah, so that's going really well. It started off like with a bang, and it's like, okay, we've got a lot of things that we want to get done, and now we're really in a really good stride. So my role at the Grand as a freelancer, I'm the audience development consultant, but specifically focusing on Black and Caribbean audiences to try and bring them into the space. But also, it's about, for me, I want the theatre to be for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just about having shows that is specifically just for those audiences, although it is about that as well. But it's about having shows for those audiences, but also for those audiences to feel like they can come to any show.
Yeah.
Because the theatre should be for everybody.
So are there specific shows that you've been able to bring in there that will encourage the Black community to come along? And then is there signs that actually having been brave enough to go to the theatre once, then they go to other shows as well?
100%. That's exactly what is happening. So when we first started, we had a show called Rush, which was all about the story of the Windrush generation. But they started from the very beginning and brought it right up to modern day. And it was a sellout. It was so good. We had wraparound events. And then since then, people were like, oh, they noticed the brochure. So my role is to be involved in all, you know, the, help with the programming, the marketing, look at all the different aspects. And they notice the brochure and the brochure showing, you know, the diversity of shows. So they were like, oh, I didn't know the Grand would, this was going to be right. on at the Grand. And they came and watched different shows. So, yeah, we've had
breaking
loads
down those
of great
barriers.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. You've got some fantastic earrings on, and I can't read them from this distance.
To say what it is?
Yeah, please.
That my earrings say, let your faith be bigger than your fears.
Very good.
Thank you.
I was just checking if it's fears and not ears. Seriously, though, Black History Month, a really important month in the years we celebrate. And there's that need. So I learned so much from you in the past about, yeah. you know, I was brought up in certain history lessons. The history lessons I heard were the, you know, the winners' history lessons, if I put it that
exactly.
way. Exactly. And therefore, we need to celebrate and we need to recognise and we need to learn about Black History Month is about our history. It's not just about the history of the Black community.
Well, definitely. I mean, in the play that I'm touring right now, Wanted, there's actually a quote in there read by one of the young characters. And the quote says, until lions have their own historians, tales of the hunt will only glorify the hunter. Which basically is saying, until we are sharing our own histories, the histories will be told by people who it's through their lens and it's not from their all, you know, that community's authentic voice.
Absolutely.
And it will glorify them and not you.
And your voice, the voice of the Black community, has been subjugated for many, many, many years. We've seen breakouts of it because people then begin to look behind, you know, some of those were statues around the place, if I put it that way, and yeah. saying, not appropriate, you know, you this is one half the story, what about the other half?
Exactly. People were getting really irate and upset about, you know, toppling down of statues, and I understand that why they got upset, but they've took it out, their upset is misplaced. You're upset about these statues which have no life, but you're not upset about the lives, the thousands and hundreds of millions of lives that have been affected, that have been oppressed for how many years because of injustice, because of inequality, because of lack of equity. So, you know, you're misplacing that anger. Why do you have that reverence for, you know, these dead statues, these dead people, these dead men?
And why don't we have on our coinage and our pound notes, and I'm not that pound notes, that shows how old I am, £5 notes, £10 notes, £100 notes, whatever it is, why don't we have images of Black people and those who have been heroes in British history?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, we just want to celebrate the richness. If we, as a country, you know, I'm Black British, I was born here, and in order to celebrate the richness of our history here, we have to tell the truth. And the truth is that we are a mixture. It's not just one thing. It never was, you know. And if we are saying to people, come join us, please help us, then celebrate them and celebrate the fact. Simple.
We've just gone through Hate Crime Awareness Week, and had the privilege of talking to Councillor Chris Burden, who's a gay man, and we've talked several times about the homophobia he has faced. What's the kind of things you've faced in terms of racism?
To be honest, you know, more recently, and this is going to probably be a bit more shocking, I have faced some of it has been directly at me, but within the creative industry, I've been really surprised that the more I rise, the higher I rise within my industry, the more I see racist behaviour. And this is really, really sickening.
Is that because you see people at the top behaving that way? Or is that because you become a very influential person and therefore people have a go at you?
Well, it's because people feel threatened. They don't like change. And that's one aspect. But also, you know, people talk about, oh, yes, I want to change. I want to, but as soon as they feel as though their work might be impacted, like, we're going to bring in this, I'm not young, but if we're going to bring in this young, new person of colour to do this directing job or to do whatever. And it's like, oh, well, what about me? You know, why are you worrying when, you know, the tables have been like that for a long time? So in order to flip, you know, we have to flip the script. We have to readdress the balance,
yeah.
So to speak, in order to really see change. But people are uncomfortable with that. So I believe, you know, people do feel threatened, but there is still ignorance. There is still a lot of ignorance. People are worried about what to say, what not to say. Don't be worried about what not to say. Just ask the questions. When you say it with your heart,
yeah,
it will come across in the right way.
And we're talking about human beings communicating with each other here, aren't we? So why be? People are afraid. They're afraid in lots of different situations. They don't want to say the wrong thing.
Exactly.
And but sometimes by saying nothing, you are saying the wrong thing.
Well, silence is violence, in my opinion. You know, staying silent doesn't make any sense. You know, if you hear something that's wrong, just speak up on it. And that can be readdressed, and that can be sorted. Rather, you know, you've got to communicate, even in relationships that you have with your family members, with your husbands, your wives, you know, in order for that to flourish, for it to be a long-standing relationship. Me and my husband are celebrating 21 years of marriage next week, Thursday.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And in order for that to be long-standing, you've got to communicate. There's going to be things my husband might say to me that I'm not happy with, I don't like. I've said things to him. And you've got to communicate that that hurts. I don't like this. Sorry, my stomach went then. I don't like that because this is the reason why. So until you have this dialogue, you're not going to know. But the problem, sorry, Chris, no. I'll just say this really quickly. The problem is, we have had dialogue for many years and people just did not want to hear. So now people are getting tired and fed up of having to say the same thing. It's like, you know, about our hair, you know, we don't have to keep telling you the same thing. It's like, just learn already. You can learn other things, learn already. But yeah, carry on.
No, apologies for interrupting you. And, but it's here, we're talking here about learning. You talk about people not liking change, and there's this phrase that's been around about positive discrimination, which I don't think is a good phrase, but what we're doing here is about trying to remove the barriers to opportunity, aren't we? Here it's not, and something that people talk about a lot is the lack of black football coaches and managers, yet how many brilliant black players we have in the country, and trying to have a way by which you remove those barriers so everybody has an equal chance, because sometimes you have to tip the balance to make things equal.
Exactly, Chris. This is what I'm talking about. Bring me back onto this radio station. I love you. It's exactly that, because there are gatekeepers, because that is the world we live in, you know? Years ago, they used to call them the fat cats at the top. Was it called fat cats at the top? You know, where, you know, the richer, they're getting richer and richer and bigger and, you know, and they would just sit at the top and gatekeep because they were enjoying the riches. They were enjoying the money. But I'm saying exactly that. You have to tip the balance. So if the balance has been like, for the people who are just listening and you can't see, I'm just doing like a scales on my hand.
You have to get a YouTube channel going, just
YouTube
for you, Tonya.
Yeah, you're going to have to get the YouTube visuals. So if the balance has always been tipped the one way for hundreds, thousands of years, in order for it to go back, you have to go like that to bring it back in balance. So you need to, that's the only way we're going to readdress it. And like you said, with the opportunities, but the reason why there's lack of opportunities because of things like unconscious bias. So if you've got an unconscious bias, you're thinking, oh, well, I'm just hiring the best people for the job, you know, not realizing your bias is towards people who look and sound and support the same football team as you. Do you know what I mean?
No, you're right. And I think, again, I'd like to think I was aware, but you never stop learning. You never ever stop discovering your own unconscious bias. That perhaps sometimes it creeps up and bites you. You think, wow, I didn't even realise that was in me. And therefore, people do need to be brave.
Gosh, I know my unconscious bias because we all have it. And I know for a fact that whenever, if I'm in a room, if I'm teaching or if I'm performing of anything, if I see a young black person in the... I'm looking beeline for them. I'm like, right, I want to give them as much inspiration. I want to, and it's not because I don't want to give anybody else, but I know my bias is towards
uplifting
them.
That's a positive bias towards a group that I've been pushed down. It's actually when people, you know, if I as a white man have an unconscious bias, then mine will tend to be in the wrong direction. Therefore, you know, we're having to learn all the time.
Yeah, and it, like I said, it's not necessarily that it's wrong. It could be that you just, you know, for what you see, you will see, you might think, oh, there's a lad there, looks just like me when I was younger. Love to inspire him. That's not negative. It's not a negative. But what is a negative is when it's only because you're in that position of power, let's say, and there isn't anybody else from a diverse range of nice. Backgrounds and, you know, and experiences, then only those young little nippers that look like you will get the opportunity. And that's the difference.
I understand that.
You know, so it's about we're not saying that's a negative. We're saying we need the broad range of people in those positions of power so we can see ourselves reflected, so we can see and also some real change, real opportunities can happen in the most organic way. It's not forced. It's just, yes, this is how it's happening.
So what you're saying there, diversity in a sense dissolves unconscious bias.
Oh my gosh, yeah, because it's a diversity of thought as well. We see real growth. If you think about it, you see real growth when you are around different types of people. If you only are batting up against the same voices, the same people, edifying how you think, how you believe, what you believe in, then you're going to just think, oh, I'm right. I'm always right. But if you're around different voices, different, even if some of it you don't agree with, you can listen and think, okay, now I definitely know I'm right. Or... actually, that was really interesting. The way they broke that down, I never thought of it like that. And I've never understood that, but now I do.
And saluting our sisters is the theme of Black History Month.
Yeah.
Which sisters do you want to salute?
Oh, good
how
one.
How long have we got?
I know exactly. Do you know what? There's so many sisters, but I want to salute those... community activists, you know, those women who are just in our local communities doing their thing, but people won't necessarily notice it as heroic work, but you know, they're working with the mental health, they're working in NHS, that, you know what I mean, those are the sisters I want to be saluting.
the unsung heroes.
And also within our play Wanted, that is on tour right back now, just a little plug.
Absolutely.
Just come back from Weymouth. Weymouth, that was so far. I think we were in Abergavenny.
Yeah,
we're going there as well. So in the play we have a character called Olive Morris. So Olive Morris was Jamaican born. She came over to Brixton, and she passed away quite a young age, 27, in the 70s. And I'm saluting my sister Olive Morris for the small bit of the work that she did in such a small amount of time was absolutely incredible. And to find these people in our history, in our shared history of British and Caribbean history, it was so hard because no one's writing about them. So I had to kind of really work hard to find information about this wonderful young lady. Only 27 is when she passed away. And so I'm saluting her. But have a guess what? I'm saluting my mother.
There you go.
I'm saluting my daughters. I'm saluting my granddaughter. And I'm saluting myself, Bab.
Right. Absolutely.
Saluting myself. I'm going to have to. You know what I mean? Because we've got to big ourselves up as well. And you've got to believe in what you are achieving. And it's not easy. I don't find that easy. So that's why I'm doing it.
No, absolutely. No, being loud and proud.
I'm black and I'm proud.
And we've talked many times about those, you know, we said earlier about the same, you know, getting your own lane and do that and doing the other. Does it, you know, you come across a very vibrant, that's why you were my go-to person for cheering up the nation, well, the city anyway, during COVID. Does it not come naturally to you? Do you sometimes find yourself absolutely drained at having to do this? Or do you find yourself, because you are a genuine, bubbly, creative person, it flows out? Or is it flows out in certain ways and different times, but actually it can be draining too?
Do you know what? That's a really good question. I find my natural disposition is this. There's a lot of warmth, a lot of joy, a lot of love within me that I can't keep in. It has to be, I have to spread it. And that is my natural disposition. And I am never going to apologize for that. But what I have noticed as I have got older, or when I feel less than, when I feel like an imposter, when I feel like I'm not doing good enough, you know, I need to be replenished. So having a strong network of family and sisters and friends, and you know, having that strong network to replenish, and obviously you know how important my faith is.
Yep.
So having that to replenish really helps, because I don't ever not want to spread love and smile and shine a light. I don't ever not want to do that, because that is how I am built. But I do need to be replenished. And I've noticed, being perimenopausal now, we talked about that earlier in the break, you know, my hormones have to be regulated differently. And it was quite a scary time for me when I was trying to work out, what is going on? Help me, please, Lord, help me. But now I do know what's going on, and I'm able to work out and readdress the balance in my own body.
Yeah.
You know, that's helped me. Yeah.
No, just going to... And that's, again, knowing yourself, being yourself. Don't get pushed into your own lane. Don't get squashed down by the wrong ceiling. You know, whether it's as a woman, you know, I remember you once saying to me, Chris, what chance have I got? I'm black, I'm a woman, I come from Wolverhampton, you know, and it's always stuck in my head, you know, but it is about being proud about who you are. And I suppose that's the message to everybody, whatever our background, whatever colour you are, be proud of who you are. But what lessons can, you know, people from my ethnic background learn still in terms of saluting the sisters, recognising the way history is?
Do you know what? I would say, I don't know if it's necessarily a lesson, but what I would say is that let's tell the truth. You know, if somebody is doing something that is worth sharing the good news. We say the good news. I know I'm going biblical now, but you know, if somebody is doing something, let's share that, and let's and that is how we celebrate those sisters. You know, that's how we do that. Let's write about them, and that's why I don't profess to be the most amazing writer. Come on, you know, I can't be.
You're doing pretty well.
You know, I'm doing okay. I write with the way I write with my voice.
You write with your heart, yeah, exactly. And soul,
exactly. And I don't have to be a scholar. I don't have to be a professor or an academic to do that. But reason why I write is purely because voices that sound like me, people who look similar to me, I can represent them in my own little way, you know. And I say, go and support their work, go and support our work. That would really help. Support the work that we do, you know. Don't just talk about it, don't just sit, you know. Actually take action, take real action. In terms of lessons to be learned, don't shy away from feeling uncomfortable about change, because we've had to live in the, you know, in the thickness of being uncomfortable for most of our lives, our working lives and our childhood. We've had to feel uncomfortable because in the spaces that we inhabit, there's little things that have not been open for us to be able to just flourish. Right. And we've had to find a way to kind of navigate through the oppression, you know. So I'd say feel you have to kind of sit in the uncomfortability in order for change to really happen, and really listen to what people are saying, you know, because a lot of times we go, oh yeah, so tell us how we can affect change. We don't really listen, and then we don't take action. Let's really listen, let's really take action. And I believe you're an amazing host, because you every time you show me you listen, because you give me back what I've said and change.
We're just having a natter. That's great.
Well, that is it. What's the show called?
It's called Chris Allen in Conversation. That's
in
right.
Conversation.
Just what it says on the tin.
I love it.
It's been lovely to see you and lovely to catch up with you. Yeah. Take care. Love to all your family.
Oh, thank you.
And we will
so
catch up again soon.
Oh, thank you for having me. Bye.
That was writer, actor, producer, director, great family lady, and above all, inspiration, Tonya Daly Campbell. My great thanks to her, and also to podcast editor Christopher O'Brien, and thank you too for your company. If you've got any news or stories for me, you can email me via chris@wcrfm.com. And that's it for this episode. I look forward to you joining me next time on the Chris Allen Podcast.